Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is November 22nd, 2022. It is Tuesday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Moonshine Wellness. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Drop the people who do not value you and respect you. Life has infinite horizons. Accept yourself, love yourself, and move forward," by Emmett Ray. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking the perfect tea for the week, and this is Witch's Pie. So this tea is a rooibos tea, and it has a lot of sweetness and caramel flavor and chocolate flavor. It is very lovely. And it also has that like deepness that you typically can only get from like a caffeinated tea, but it is caffeine free. So you really get that really depth without worrying about, ingesting too much caffeine, which is always a huge thing I think about constantly. I'm always monitoring my caffeine intake. So something we're going to talk about today is pecan. And I saw a video about how to pronounce pecan correctly, and I don't remember which one it is. So I'm actually going to pause this, go find out, and come back. Okay, I am back, and I found a video of this guy who wrote a book on it, and he says it is correctly pronounced pecan. And it's an indigenous word. And I've also heard that the tree they come from is called, like, the Latin word sounds a lot like pecan. So, good. Then I won't go back and forth because I'll flip-flop between, between them. So let's talk a little bit about pecans. So pecans in magic lends towards wealth. This comes to us from treespiritwisdom.com. The pecan tree heralds a time of wealth and financial security. This could also indicate extra income, an inheritance, or even retirement. The name pecan is based on the Algonquin word referring to nuts that need to be cracked open with a stone. Indigenous people were the first to experience the wealth of the pecan tree, and they gathered them primarily as a nutritional food, but they were also used to make dye and oil. Pecans became a delicious delicacy that could be traded for goods and services with other tribes. In 1541, Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto and his gold seekers were so impressed by the potential of the pecan that they brought it to Spain. Its popularity soon spread throughout Asia and Africa. Early French settlers in Louisiana assimilated the pecan into their culinary culture, creating pecan pie. Oh, that's cool. I didn't know pecan pie was founded here in Louisiana. Thomas Jefferson grew pecan trees at Monticello, as did George Washington at Mount Vernon. Very cool. So the pecan brings welcome relief to our lives in the form of monetary and physical comfort. This is a time to relax and enjoy life by graciously accepting the gifts that are being offered to you. This is a time to gather with family and friends and celebrate what has been accomplished and the satisfaction of bringing something to completion. The accomplishment can be related to career, relationships, financial investments, and this may be a good time for planning for the future and creating strong, successful, and sustainable plans. Love, 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 love. Oh, I love that because I love pecans. It's actually heard another interesting fact on the radio recently about sweet potato pie, And it's history. Maybe I'll talk about that on Thursday. I won't forget. I will remember. I'm going to type it in right now so I don't forget. But it was really fascinating and I want to talk about it. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from let's see. 949. Oh, it's like a radio station. 949WHOM.com. Which can I tell you, I've read quite a few articles from radio stations. They are the absolute worst places to read articles. I have never been on a radio station website that doesn't have ads just like coming at your face. anyways, but it is interesting. This is about the Warrens, who are not my favorite people in the world, and their haunted artifact collection, which I'm sure a lot of people know about. If you don't know about it, I will post a video for you on the Facebook group and with more information. However, I have gotten enough people asking about a Discord group. We will look into that at the beginning of the year. I will put one together, okay? So that people who don't use Facebook, which like bless, we can still communicate and have a good time. So the Warrens were paranormal investigators that helped and dealt with many hauntings. They were actually very often credited with hauntings they weren't involved in, but whatever. That's not my fight to have. Some of the hauntings that the Warrens assisted with were even made into movies. And we're going to skip this. But they do have, over the years, the Warrens had collected many artifacts that were said to possess demonic entities. The Warrens took the artifacts back to their house where they were stored in their basement in Connecticut. With crosses on the walls, the Warrens opened the Warren Occult Museum where visitors could go and see some of the artifacts that were said to hold demonic spirits. So let's fast forward. Both Mr. and Mrs. Warren have passed away, and the Warren Occult Museum is closed for visitors. However, all of the artifacts remained there sitting in the basement. I stumbled on a TikTok the other day that had me shocked. There was what I would assume a team of paranormal investigators moved the possessed doll, also known as Annabelle. And for those of you who don't know, Annabelle does not look like the Annabelle from the movies. It is a Raggedy Ann doll. They prayed while doing the transfer. However, I always thought that if you touch something haunted, it was bad juju. Oh God, these websites are absolutely horrible to read from. Just so you know, if you ever click on a link and it is a radio station website, close it. That's my advice. With some further digging, I found that even though the Warren Occult Museum is closed this year, some of the haunted artifacts will actually be leaving the museum for paranormal convention. Oh God. Oh God. They're taking, oh no. Don't take Annabelle to a convention. Not only Annabelle, but more out of artifacts that supposedly hold demonic entities will be moved out of the museum. Whew. Fun. On the well, I hope everything goes well. That's all I've got to say. Good luck. All right, witches, I'm gonna throw this over to our moon correspondent, and after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Tuesday, November 22nd. The waning crescent moon penetrates you with its stare in Scorpio today. Here, the moon forms a fixed T-square to Saturn and Uranus. We're finding out the truth about the shifts that we've been making while the Saturn-Uranus square has been active. We've been challenging the structures in our lives, trying to find ways to free up space to grow. But some of the things that we've been struggling against are turning out to be things that are important to the structural integrity of our beliefs. While it's never bad to confront our strongly held beliefs, calling into question things that we were formerly confident about can have a ripple effect throughout our lives that can be somewhat traumatic. It's a little easier to approach these things a little bit at a time, pushing gently against what we hold dear in order to test its strength. So try not to be a wrecking ball to your belief systems. Give it some gentle prodding, and then give yourself permission to discard what doesn't work for you anymore. Your daily moon mantra is, absorb what is useful, discard what is useless, and add what is specifically your own. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Feeling chronically overwhelmed and exhausted from work? If you feel like you're always running on a hamster wheel of work and life, but getting no time for yourself, it's time to work with a burnout wellness coach to create the time and space in your life for you. Chronic stress has many negative health effects, and creating rituals around relaxing your nervous system, getting restorative sleep, and settling into your body will help break this cycle of stress. Sign up today for a free 20-minute consultation at moonshinewellnesspnw.com and follow on Instagram at HealersMoonLLC.
All right, we are back. So we are continuing our series on divination in history. And today we're going to talk about one of my favorite things, and that is oracles and the Greeks. This is so fascinating. You're never going to look at divination the same way again. This is one of my favorite pieces of information in regard to seers and things like that. Also, I wanted to share this. I didn't know a good time, but now seems like a great time. Apparently, the University of South Carolina, I believe, their history department is opening up a master's program in witchcraft and occultism. And of course, some witches are making fun of that, going, oh, is it going to make you a wizard? Like, you can't just have like a master's degree in witchcraft and blah, blah, blah. And what's kind of sad about that is it shows you how many witches don't actually understand the history of their own spiritual practice. Occultism actually has impacted most of human history. It, you know, we date back to alchemists, the Philosopher's Stone, the Emerald Tablet. It relates to leaders of the world and Freemasonry and secret societies. And occultism and witchcraft has touched almost every aspect of human history. So I think it honestly was one of those moments where I'm like, what makes me qualified to like do the things I do, right? Like I am a reader for witch books to kind of like fact check and you know, editor-in-chief of et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, what makes me, every once in a while, I think, why am I doing this? Like, you know, and then I kind of see reactions to news like that. And I'm like, oh, it's because I actually know things. I know quite a bit. I don't know everything, but I know quite a bit. And it's because I study and I read primary sources and I really care that our books are accurate to the best of our abilities, and I care that my information is as accurate as I can. So when I see witches reacting to news like that in that way, it just reminds me that, like, okay, we still have a ways to go in kind of educating each other on how historical occultism is and how beautiful that is and intense and powerful. And it makes me sad that there are witches who can make fun of the fact that there is enough information to have a master's course at a accredited college. And this is the first of its kind in North America. I know Oxford has classes on like pre-ritualist or pre-Christian rituals. It's really cool. You know, because this is a really cool thing. It's cool. Like, this is a cool spirituality to be a part of. And I'm proud of it. And I'm proud of it because I learned so much about it. And I studied. And I, you know, so it's not that you need to know the information. But, you know, it's sad if you don't know how amazing this is, you know, and how beautiful this is and how deep it goes and how it has affected so much. And I think that is why I sometimes, I think sometimes people think I'm a little too laissez-faire about stuff or too whatever about things. And it is because I know the history and I know how it's changed and moved. So when people are so dead set on, no, there's rules you have to follow, and if you don't follow them, you're a bad witch. Like, I don't like that, because when you know the history and you know how much it has changed and evolved and the power it's had in the world, you don't view it so binary and so strictly in the very small view we have of it today, you know? Anyways, let's talk about oracles and the Greeks. Now that my rant's over, I didn't know I was going to say all that, so I apologize if it's like not eloquent. Anyways, so this is from Wikipedia. Both oracles and seers, and there is a difference, we will talk about it, in ancient Greece practiced divination. Oracles were the conduits for the gods on earth. Their prophecies were understood to be the will of the gods verbatim. Because of the high demand for oracle consultants and the oracle's limited work schedule, they were not the main source of divination for the ancient Greeks. That role fell to the seers. Seers were not in direct contact with the gods. Instead, they were interpreters of signs provided by the gods. Okay. So think about when we, go, oh, I saw 333. It's a sign. It's like that type of communication, not like direct communication. Seers used many methods to, determine the will of the gods, including birds, signs, kind of omens, kind of how we do today. They were more numerous than the oracles and did not keep a limited schedule. Thus, they were high valued by the Greeks, not just those with the capacity to travel to Delphi or other such distant cities. So, Greeks and oracles are different. Oracles and seers are different. Seers did not directly communicate with the gods. They were read signs. So kind of how we view maybe like readers today. Whereas oracles were the conduits for gods on earth. So they were more like channelers. Okay. The disadvantage of seers was that only direct yes or no questions could be answered. Oracles could answer more generalized questions, and seers often had to perform several sacrifices in order to get the most consistent answer. For example, if a general wanted to know if the omens were proper for him to advance on the enemy, he would ask his seer both that question. If it were better for him to remain on the defensive. So basically the general would go to a seer and be like, okay, should we remain on the defensive? As well as, is now a good time to like advance? So if the seer gave consistent answers, the advice was considered valid. So think about how people typically will do a control question with pendulums, right? So he's asking two opposing questions, right? He's asking, should we remain on the defensive, and is now a good time to advance? Which that does, like, those don't make sense together, right? Because they're two different things. If the seer says yes to both, he knows that he's getting bad advice. Whereas if she goes, no, don't stay on the defensive, and yes, advance, he's like, okay, that's valid. During battle, generals would frequently ask seers at both the campground and at the battlefield. So how this all worked, it entailed the seer slaughtering a sheep and examining its liver for answers regarding more generic questions. Others involved killing a young female goat by slitting its throat and noting the animal's movements and blood flow. The battlefield sacrifice only occurred when two armies prepared for battle against each other. Neither force would advance until the seer revealed appropriate omens. Because the seers had such power and influence in ancient Greece, many were skeptical of the accuracy and honesty of the seers. Fair. The degree to which seers were honest depends entirely on the individual seers. So kind of how like you find readers today. There are some readers who, you know, you view as more maybe performative and others you view more accurate. So despite the doubts surrounding individual seers, which fair, the craft as a whole was well regarded and trusted by the Greeks. A good way to approach divination is to think of it as a means of providing answers to a social or personal dilemma. As such, divination can be diagnostic in that it gives advice, instruction, rules, and taboos to follow. It can also be predictive by predicting future events, and it can be even seen as intervening and by interfering with the recipient's mental and physical health or even their part. That being said, divination is also a ritual and a tradition made up and constituted of a constant dialogue with more than human agents. And this is from a researcher named Curry. Nature has traditionally been the basis for divination, originating in indigenous metaphors referring to natural phenomena such as rocks, water, animal behavior. In some African American and African American religious communities, animal blood and other sacrifices were required to give life to the gods, manifesting in a prophecy as an opening, the beginning of the analysis interpretation. So, different concepts of time seem to apply to divination. For example, to engage in, quote, devil's eye, unquote, exorcism and read cups of coffee or taste in Greece, one must be able to comprehend time. So the linear and compartmentalized time of modern kind of excludes any interweaving of present and future. So this is kind of where we talk about knowing the difference between if it's a present thing, a future thing, things like that. And like this would kind of be similar to dream omens, how dream omens are just really kind of confusing because we don't know a lot about where that's actually showing up or for what. Much of science itself has evolved out of forms of divination. And this is what I'm talking about when I say that it's if you think it's silly that a master's degree on occultism and witchcraft exists, a historical degree or a history degree on it, you just are so out of touch with like how it has touched like every part of our lives. And like we see here, science itself evolved out of forms of divination and arguably has some aspects still to it. For example, astronomy is deeply indebted to the study of Near Eastern and ancient Greek astrology. Mathematics and physics were enhanced by Indian Pythagorean and Arab neuroscientific speculations, and some of the great scientists of the Renaissance were inspired by theological models of Kabbalah and Hermetism. In their search for moral harmony and the direction of the universe, however, it would be incorrect to label algorithms as childish science or pseudoscience, since modern science and traditional fortune-telling have essentially separate purposes. So we today really couldn't say they're the exact same thing. But yeah, like arguably to the extent that modern disciplines such as psychotherapy and Marxist theory leave science behind, they assume theological and therefore religious and representative functions, and it kind of contributes to the history of, you know, divination. So yeah, I hope that's interesting to some of you. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I do want to give a shout out to listener Vanessa. Vanessa, you beautiful badass Kraken. Karen Walker. Karen, I see you pop up on my Facebook a lot because I always think of Will and Grace. Karen, you noble opulent garden nymph. April Reinhardt. April, you charming brilliant starfish. And finally, Charlotte Deck. Charlotte, you insidious innocent fire dragon. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I very, very much appreciate it. All right. So before we go, we do have a card pull today. Our card today is Callie. Is it, what was it? Kali? Kali? From Deep, Dark, and Dangerous Oracle. Love isn't always pretty. Love is authentic and appreciates authenticity. Sometimes real love means you allow someone to make mistakes. Boundaries may be necessary to assist someone you love in the long run. Love is eternal. Acceptance and love can help you negotiate any transition, in particular, ones that you are afraid of and hesitant to make. All right. So that's all I got for you today. If you have a long weekend this weekend and or you're with kind of family and you know, maybe don't, you know, want to be, consider downloading an issue of Which Way? Which Way magazine, whichwaymag.com. Download like our newest issue and like read up on some fun stuff. It's a lifestyle magazine. So it's just meant to like kind of be fun and interesting for witches. So, you know, there's recipes and DIYs and we kind of give you little snippets on God, on goddesses, herbs and crystals to like maybe inspire you to learn more. And I think it's neat. Anyways, that's all I've got for you. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, resources, anything we've mentioned today can be found in the podcast episode description or awitchpod.com. And we will talk again Thursday.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual's circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket, My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.